Well, good morning. I want to say a special word of welcome to those of you who are new here. My name is Alex. I'm one of the pastors here, and we are thrilled if you're joining us, whether in person or online, especially for the first time. Welcome, welcome, welcome. What we are all about is really simple as a church. It's just about connecting people to God, connecting people to each other. So together we can engage our world for good. We hope you experience a little bit of all those things here this morning. Before we jump into what we're talking about, just one more pass. Next Sunday is our baptism Sunday. We love baptisms around here. If you are ready to take the step of baptism or one of your kids, reach out to me this week, and we'd love to have like a short conversation about that and celebrate that with you next Sunday. Lots of celebration. So fun. And for some of you, you've been baptized before, and as we've been saying, maybe like faith kind of receded to the background, or maybe it's never been that important to you, and man, but maybe God's doing something new in your life, and you don't necessarily want to get baptized again, but you'd love to celebrate God's doing something new. And so we're doing a new thing next week where we're going to invite people who have already sort of been baptized to stand up before the church and say, God's doing something new, and we're celebrating that together. So if you want to be a part of either one of those celebrations, drop me an email this week. We would love to get you connected and celebrate what God's doing here in our midst next Sunday in a special way. This is week three of our series called Change the Atmosphere. If you're just joining us, we've all been in sort of communities of people that have been dysfunctional, broken, kind of where the vibe or the energy or just the dynamics are super unhealthy. Maybe there's a lot of gossip and kind of backbiting and people kind of climbing the ladder over top of each other. Maybe some one person in your family or workplace or your class or your school or your team was just unhealthy and kind of dominated and sort of set the tone. Maybe there's an addiction in the mix. We've all been in places that have been broken and dysfunctional. And the original sort of Bible stories of who we are as people, it says we're made in God's image, and that the Greek word is icons. It's like an icon on your phone that when you get touched, that icon, what springs forth is the thing that the icon represents. So you and I are icons of the living God. And this is what we've been talking about throughout the series, that you are made in God's image like an icon to release something of God's goodness, beauty, truth, justice, wisdom, righteousness on earth to replace dysfunction, which is everywhere, with blessing in order to change the atmosphere in a way that brings life and health and peace. All that Lord's goodness and blessing worked out. We have been sort of pressing into this job description for what it means to be a human being at the start of this week because we believe that God made you on purpose for a purpose for you. Step into a broken and weary world and change the atmosphere. This past week, I had a day full of additional meetings, kind of blocked off a day and did all these additional meetings. And they were very, very productive. But you know what does not happen when you have extra meetings? Work. Like additional work, normal work, right? The normal day job. It just wasn't happening. And I came to the end of my full day of meetings, very productive on Tuesday, and I looked at my to-do list and everything else on my calendar. And I was like, there is no way in God's green earth I have enough time to do all this. Like, there's just no way. I can't get it all done. I don't have enough time. And so I rearranged my life and my schedule and all the things to try to make things work. But that feeling of not enough time, any of you felt that this week? And you felt that like not enoughness kind of chases after you. Maybe not enough time, maybe not enough money to do things that you would want to do, or maybe just to pay the bills. Maybe not enough wisdom or patience to deal with this kid, this toddler, this grandkid, this coworker, not enough patience. Maybe you feel like you're hitting kind of not enoughness in your career where you'd love to make a change or move to a different job, but there's just not enough jobs, not enough good jobs to get the kind of work you want to do. Maybe you've had that feeling of not enoughness inside of you. Like maybe I'm just not good enough, smart enough, pretty enough, creative enough. Maybe I'm not a good enough husband or wife or grandparent. Maybe I don't have not enough, not enough, not enough. That mantra of not enough, that's sort of the reflection of scarcity, right? And here's the reality that we're going to deal with today, right? So the reality is scarcity is part of all of our realities, right? Sometimes there's just not enough. That's just true, right? Sometimes there's not enough money, not enough time. Sometimes I'm not smart enough, not good enough to manage the situation or deal with it. Sometimes I'm not patient enough, right? The reality is scarcity is a part of all of our lives. It's just life in this world. None of us are limitless, and the world is a limited place. Scarcity is reality. But here's where it gets weird. Like usually when you live in line with reality, it's a good thing, right? It bears good fruits, right? So for example, I love music, like the worship team, the music. Like I love, love, love music. I love to sing, but I am deeply in line with the reality that I can't really do it. And me living in line with that reality is a blessing to you and to me that I don't try to do it, right? When you live in line with reality, it typically bears really good fruit. So listen, scarcity is a reality for all of us, but here's the weird thing. Here's so weird. When you live with scarcity mentality, it's a disaster. When you live in line with the reality that the resources of the world are scarce, but when that becomes your dominant mindset, oh my gosh, it's terrible. Like, you're either overly anxious or you're overly aggressive. Everything is a threat, right? You're constantly thinking about what could go wrong, what could go sideways. And then when things do go wrong, you get, oh yeah, I knew it, that was gonna happen, right? Like, scarcity mentality keeps you on edge. Everyone's a competition and everything's a competition for scarce resources. Not enough money, not enough time, not enough applause, not enough love, not enough of anything to go around. And so you're just scrappy and clawing for all you can. And that, my friends, is a terrible way to live. You're either stuck in anxiety or aggression, or you do like the Eeyore from Winnie the Pooh. Oh, bother. Right? Just kind of quit. Because it's just not enough. And for some of you, you've been in those places before. Maybe some of you are in that place right now, right, where you just feel like scarcity is everywhere and I gotta figure out how to get what I need and there's just not enough. Or maybe that's been the status of your family, your extended family, maybe your neighborhood. Maybe you feel that in your workplace. Everyone's sort of scrappy and clawing because there's only a few job promotions and everyone's trying to kind of make their way to the top of the org chart. Like, this whole idea of scarcity mentality, it is a disaster. And so here's the invitation today. In a world full of scarcity mentality, we're invited to change the scarcity mentality atmosphere by drawing on the abundance of God. And when we can live lives that are built on God's love, like we just sang about, right? I'm gonna build my life on God's love. It's a firm foundation. When we build our lives on God's love, we root ourselves in all the superabundance of God. That's when we become the people God designed us to be. And part of the beautiful fruition, like the fruit, the flowering of that, the outworking of that, is that you and I get to change the atmosphere. And this abundance of God is sort of overflowing in this short prayer that Brian just read a few minutes ago from Ephesians chapter 3. So a little bit of background on Ephesians 3. Paul is in jail and he's writing to some of his best friends down in Ephesus. And these are people that he loves. And there's a couple places in this letter where he just breaks out into prayer. Like, here's what I'm praying for y'all. Here's what I'm praying for y'all. And these are likely prayers he's praying over and over and over again for the people in the Ephesians in Ephesus. And as he, in this really, really short prayer, you know what happens over and over and over again is he runs out of adjectives. Like, he just pushes the limits as he tries to describe how magnificent, how abundant, how glorious, how many resources God has for his people. So I'm gonna go through and highlight all the language of abundance and overflowing and so muchness that Paul sort of describes in this really short prayer. Because the invitation for you and for me is to draw on the abundance of God, that you might be salty, bright, different in a world full of scarcity. So let's just walk through and pull out all this. Again, watch how Paul kind of just strains language to try to describe how much abundance is available to us. He says, listen, here's what I want to do. I pray that out of God's glorious riches, this is his first line of his prayer, right? God's riches are super glorious. Like, if you ever watched like the movie The Hobbit, like Smaug on this big pile of gold, right? It's like that, but it's not like that, right? It's overflowing more than anyone could possibly count. Abundant riches, beauty, glory, grace, so much of these glorious, beautiful riches that God has of all the good things that have ever been invented or created. God created them, God invented them, all of them find their source in him. That out of God's glorious, glorious riches, Paul says, I'm praying that God will help you to do this. Well, I pray that you will grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of God. Like, you can't fully know all this, but I want you to start to grasp that, man, it's immeasurable, it's incountable, it's incomparable. Like, it's just high, wide, long, deep. It just stretches far, far, far beyond anything that you could possibly know or understand, but I want you to begin to grasp it. I want you to begin to kind of just get an impression of how magnificent it is, all given to you. And he builds on that. He says, well, I want you to know this love that surpasses knowledge, which sounds a little weird. I want you to know something you can't know. I want you to know, experience. Camp out on something that you can't fully comprehend. But this is what God is. This is who God is. And it's all about how much love he wants to pour out all over you. You can only begin to grasp, but you can't fully comprehend it. One guy in my small group, he said, well, it's a little bit like the universe. He's a scientist, so it's like a little bit like the universe, right? We can't really comprehend how crazy big it is. All we can do is be like, yep, it's big. Yeah, it's beyond what we could possibly understand. Like, we can grasp its largesse, its humongousness, but we can't possibly actually get our minds around how big it is. So you can grasp it, you can't understand it. One woman in my small group said she felt this way about men's brains. To which we said, it's not that complicated, actually. We're pretty simple. And she said, that's my problem. It's a little too simple. I can't quite grasp how simple it is. You can grasp it, but you can't understand it, right? Here's the magnificence of God's love. And Paul keeps piling on more and more of like the abundance, craziness of God's great love and all his power. He says this, I want you to be filled to the measure with all the fullness of God. Like all God's fullness poured into your little brain, your little heart, soul, mind, body. Listen, how much of God do you think you could hold? How much of God's glory, his goodness, his beauty, his love? His joy, his peace, his comfort, his justice, his righteousness. How much do you think you could hold? What if part of the spiritual practices, prayer, scripture, gathering together for worship, what if part of the goal of spiritual practices is to give you a bigger bucket to hold more of God's joy, hold more of God's love, all the fullness of God, as much as you could possibly hold, all those riches poured in to you. And then Paul says, well, I'm praying that you know the God who's able to do immeasurably more than all we could ask or imagine. All this more language, all this abundance language. Paul says, I want you to know the God who's able to do immeasurably more all that we could ask or imagine. To which I respond a little cynically, I don't know. I can ask and imagine a lot. I got a long list of things I'd love for God to do. I've got a list of things I love for God to do. So I'm like, I don't know, God. I can ask or imagine quite a bit. To which I think the Lord might say, try it. Let's see. So let's try it today, okay? Shall we? A couple weeks into 2025, you're here, I'm here. Here's what I want you to call to mind. I want you to call to mind something good that you could ask or imagine for God to do in 2025. What's one great thing, one good thing? Man, I'd love it if God did this. Something that mattered to me, right? Just one thing. You got something in mind? All right, so here's what I want you to do. I want you to call to mind the thing that you could ask God for or could imagine God doing in 2025. Now, here's the rub. Sometimes what I want God to do and what God wants to do are two different things, right? And sometimes God's abundance looks different than the thing that I want to demand. So there's a little bit of a spiritual journey here, a little bit of work, right? Am I gonna trust God with the thing that I want? So here's what I'm gonna invite you to do. As you think about that thing that you would love, love, love God to do and for God to sort of do this thing, here's what I wanna invite. I'm gonna pray this prayer. I'm gonna invite you to pray this prayer here in just a second. Here's the prayer, take it. And I trust that you are able to do immeasurably more than I can ask or imagine. If you wanna pray that prayer, if you're willing to do it, I want to invite you to kind of just step into that prayer. I want to invite you to put your hand out, and I want you to just imagine that this is the thing that you're putting in, right? We're going to close your eyes, just going to put your hand out and say, okay, God, here it is, right? Put the thing in your hand. Now I want to invite you to pray this out loud with me together. Take this. I trust that you're able to do immeasurably more than I can ask or imagine. Come, Lord Jesus, we take you at your word. Take it. Take all this. And we trust you that out of your abundant, magnificent, overflowing love, you are able and desire to do more than we could ask or imagine. And we trust you to do that. Amen. Paul closes his crazy prayer, piling on adjective and adjective and adjective and abundance on top of abundance. He says this, glory to God in all generations forever and ever and ever, amen. And here we are 2,000 years later and thousands of miles in a place that Paul could not have imagined, in a context, in a setting Paul could never have imagined. Generation after generation, 2,000 years later, this thing has changed more lives than any other movement in history. Paul was absolutely correct in his prayer that for generation after generation after generation, God's glory is gonna roll out all across the world and transform lives. And you know what? No matter how much money they put against it, no matter how many haters there are and discounters and people want to kick it to the curb, the church of Jesus Christ, his glory just rolls on and on and on and on. It is inevitable. It will just unfold to the end of time for all generations, forever and ever. Amen. My friends, in a world full of scarcity, look at all this abundance. Look at all this magnificence. Look at all these resources. Look at all that God is. Look at all that God wants to do in your life, what's available to you. See, here's the challenge. Here's the reality. Scarcity is the natural consequence of a world and people who are cut off from God, because God's the one who's full of all this abundance, right? Scarcity mentality, natural consequence. It's normal. If you don't know this God, if you're not connected to this God, the only thing that makes any sense is scarcity mentality. Listen, if you don't know God, and I don't mean this in a mean way, you should live out of scarcity. It's the only thing that makes sense. There isn't enough time. There isn't enough money. There's not enough love. Not enough applause. Not enough approval. You should just live as sort of a socially Darwinist, whoever gets the best, whoever can survive. That's the only thing that makes any sense. But you know what God has done in Jesus? He has sent his son to reconcile you, to rescue you from a land of scarcity, to reset you where you belong, that you might live out of God's amazing grace, God's magnificent abundance. You were created to draw on the abundant life of God in Christ and to bring that to the world. Let's put it this way. Redeemed and reconciled and restored image bearers are called to cultivate life rooted in the abundance of God. This has a couple of things. One, it rescues us from scarcity mentality. It releases us from scarcity mentality. That is not the last word. God's abundance is. And then it bears fruit. Partly we do that by praying prayers that change the scarcity mentality atmosphere, that we bear fruit in our own lives, and that we pray prayers, just like Paul's praying for the Ephesians, that they might be set free from all this scarcity to live out of the abundance of God. What does it mean for us to draw deeply from God's magnificent abundance? I used an illustration a couple weeks ago, kind of an analogy, an image that's been super helpful for me the last couple months to pray out of, right? So I'm gonna kind of bring this back up again because I think it might be helpful, a helpful way to think about how do we bring God's abundance into our everyday lives. So let's talk about this. Like we talked about this a couple weeks ago, kind of there's ordinary time, and ordinary time is just normal human experience, right? It's like normal stuff, scarcity, hopes, dreams, shiny things that you're excited about, threats, anger, anxiety, animosity. This is where normal humans live. It's how we spend most of our days and most of our time. And here's the deal. If you want to live an ordinary life, just hang out in ordinary time. If you want to live an ordinary life, just hang out in ordinary time. Ups, downs, good things, bad things, then you die, game over. But throughout the scriptures, God has a different relationship to our time. God relates to the world in a different way. And we called this a couple weeks ago deep time. God's deep time is full of all his abundance. This is where God's deep love and deep power, the two most repeated words in this prayer for Paul, are love and power, love and power, love and power. It's the power of love. It's beautiful. Glorious riches, deep joy, deep peace. This is not far away, but you have to access it. The only way you access God's deep abundance is by unhooking from ordinary time, unhooking from all the shiny things, all the anxious things, all the threats, all the hopes, all the fears. You unhook from ordinary time. You step into God's deep time. It's a small step. It's a stream, like a current just underneath the surface. And one of the ways that we do this, one of the ways we off-ramp out of ordinary time into deep time is through prayer. It's what Paul's doing. He prays, right? So we step out of ordinary time, but we step into God's deep time through prayer. And as we step into God's deep time, he fills us with all this love, all this abundance, all this grace, and then we come back up into ordinary time, and we bring God's healing power, God's grace, God's mercy on earth as it is in heaven. We bring that to whatever atmosphere God has you in. But the other thing that we ask God to do, we pray about, is God, we want to be that blessing, but God, would you also just pour out your blessing directly into people that I care about, that I love? Like part of the work of prayer is going into deep time and going, meeting God there and saying, God, would you transform me, but would you also pour out blessing and salvation and rescue, peace, immeasurable love to people that I love? So part of our job is we go into prayers, we invite God to pour out this blessing into the world to change the atmosphere. We go there ourselves, and then we pray that God would release that blessing into others, just like Paul is praying that God would do for the Ephesians. I was reading a book this last week on kind of spiritual formation and prayer. And I learned a really cool prayer exercise, and I want to invite you to do this. I want to invite us to kind of to sample this, to step into God's deep time, to allow that to change our hearts and our atmosphere, that we might be instruments of change and also know what this looks like. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to call to mind a memory that you have that's a pleasant memory, like one of your favorite memories. Just, it could be very, very simple, right? Very simple, or it could be like life-changing, whatever, but something that feels like a good warm memory, right? You got that in mind? You got that in mind? Yeah. So one good memory, any memory. Now here's what I want you to do. I want you to close your eyes. I want you to inhabit that memory for just a second. Just like as much of it as you can remember. Just call it that experience. And now what I want you to do is I want you to, without words, I just want you to turn your heart and your mind toward God with thanksgiving. He gave you this great gift. Just turn your heart and mind toward the Lord with as few words as possible. Say thank you. This is good. Lord Jesus, thank you that you love to pour out blessings on us and give us good gifts to change our hearts, that we might in turn change the atmosphere. Amen. Look around you. People got goofy grins on their face. It's beautiful. Yeah. Well, all you did right there was just visit a little well of joy, right? Little wells of joy. You step out of ordinary time, step into God's deep time, prayer, gratitude, and then you bring that transformation with you into ordinary time. You show up at work a more joyful, grounded person. You bear the fruit of the Spirit. It's a good thing. It's a beautiful thing. Part of the ways we change the atmosphere is by knowing about all God's abundance, all his superabundance, and we experience it, and we also, just like Paul's doing, we pray for it for other people, just like Jesus taught us to do. We pray that all that joy, all that peace, all that abundance will be released from God to change the atmosphere. Because here's the thing, changing the atmosphere, you know what it is? It's a long game. And keeping it changed is an even longer game. Like changing the atmosphere is like trying to keep your garage organized or that closet that always gets cluttered and right, disorganized. You can't just do it once. You have to kind of do it over and over and over again. So what Paul's doing here is he's praying for the Ephesians all the time, like constantly. And what I want to do is we're going to hit a few phrases from this prayer. And I want to invite you to ask the question, who has God given you to help change the atmosphere in their lives? To be praying for them over the long haul. To be a person who is just always on their side, always praying that God would change the atmosphere, do something in their lives. Could be a kid, grandkid, a parent, could be a coworker, colleague, just someone that you love, that God would do something in their lives. Let's look at a few of these phrases. We're gonna look at just a couple of them to see how Paul is changing the atmosphere and praying prayers for the people in Ephesians. He prays this at the beginning. I pray that out of God's glorious riches, God may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. So back in 2012, when I first got here, the church was about 5 years old. And when I first got hired, I was the only employee of the church in 2012, right? So I was the lead pastor, but I was also the lead janitor, lead secretary. I was lead everything. It was a really long business card. All the things. And there were wonderful volunteers. I mean, just fantastic volunteers. Matt mentioned earlier, we have volunteer celebration first week of February. Come in. We want to celebrate you. Thank you. So many volunteers. But I was the only employee of the church, and I would go into the office and I would sit there by myself. And after it only took a few weeks for all that onlyness and all that loneliness to sort of sink in, I just felt the weight of it, right? I felt like I was carrying this whole thing. And all the voices in my head said, not enough. Not enough time, not enough energy. Like, I don't have enough energy to hold this thing together. Like, what if this whole thing fails? What if this whole thing falls apart? What if I totally blow it? Now, here's the thing. I knew cognitively, I knew the truth in my head, and that's a good thing, that God was bigger than all that. I knew in my head that God was taking care of me, taking care of the church, and that God was more for Chatham County than I ever was. And even if the church totally failed and totally collapsed, and even if it was all my fault, even if it was all 100% my fault that this whole thing collapsed, I was still loved by God. And he was still gonna do his good work in Chatham County. He loved it more than I did. I knew all that in my head, but the little thing deep inside my heart could not get my heart around it. What Paul's calling my inmost being could not find peace, even though I knew all the right answers in my head. And then one day, a friend of mine who lives in way, way, way far away in deepest, darkest northern Durham just showed up on a Sunday morning. He had no idea how deep my struggle was, how I was really, really laboring under this. And God had just put it on his heart to show up, and he gave me a book on prayer. And it had a little prayer exercise, kind of similar to what we just did. where I quieted myself from all the noises and all the alarm bells, and I stepped into God's deep time, and it totally changed the atmosphere in my heart and released me to actually joyfully do this job versus just anxiously stressed out in scarcity mentality, do this job. See, there's a place in us that Paul says is your inmost being. Paul talks about this, strengthening you with power through his spirit in your inner being. And it's not just cognitive. It's not just knowing the right answers. It's not just having everything all sorted out. There's a place in your heart that God wants to get to that's deeper than cognition. It's at the core of your being. And what God wants to do is he wants to set up shop in your inmost being. He wants to pour the resurrected Christ to your deepest part of your heart, soul, mind, and spirit. And from that deepest inmost being to then bring his shalom, his peace, his joy, his power, right? Power is the word that's repeated over and over and over again. His love at the deepest part of you to affect all of you. My friends, could any of you use a little bit of peace in your inmost being today? Any of you use a little bit more resilience in your inmost being today? And here's the other question. Is there anyone that you know around you who's just really struggling that could use a little bit of inmost being power in the Holy Spirit? Is there anyone that God would say, hey, I want you to pray that inmost being prayer thing. I want you to pray that inner power thing for that person. My prayer over you, my friends, is that you might have power in the Holy Spirit to know the love of Christ in your deepest inmost being, the thing that you can't get to, only God can get to, as deep cries out to deep. My prayer is that God would cry out to your deepest part of your heart and soul, mind, and spirit, that he might give you his power and strength and love in your inmost being, that you might be set free from anything else that would hijack your life, that you might be a restored image bearer who knows the abundance of God and who then prays for others to know that same abundance. Paul goes on to pray this. He prays this. He says, I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all God's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. So Paul's writing to people who are already Christians. And he says, listen, you don't need to get to being rooted and established in love. If you're already in Jesus Christ, you're already rooted and established in perfect love. That's the place where God has positioned you in the cosmos. You are rooted and established in love once you accept and receive the gift of grace in Jesus. But I thought about this as I looked at this passage and I realized God's amazing love in Christ, not the only thing you can be rooted in, is it? All kinds of things you can be rooted in. You can be rooted in bitterness and cynicism. You can be rooted in your own ambition and pride. You can be rooted in your own self-hatred and anxiety and fear. You can be rooted in other people's applause and approval of you. You can be rooted and established in all kinds of places, your money, your career, what your grandkids or your kids think about you. You can be rooted and established in all kinds of things. And my friends, for some of you in January 2025, the best thing you could do is recognize the problem. First step, name the problem and accept the problem. And then two, pray for a transplant. Lord Jesus, would you transplant me from being rooted and established in other things that aren't bearing good fruit in me? And then would you set me free to be rooted and established in your amazing, perfect love? For some of you, that rootedness transplant is the most important spiritual transaction you could take. Now, the other thing that happens here is this. It's not the only thing, ways that things can go sideways, right? Some of us are rooted and established in all the wrong things, but here's the thing that's even worse. Some of us are completely rootless, right? Because roots take time. Roots take intentionality. Roots take, I'm putting my investment in some area, some place. And for some of us, particularly when it comes to spiritual stuff, God's stuff, you've worked really, really hard to not be rooted anywhere. Not be rooted in God's grace. Number of years ago, had a conversation with a woman who had a near-death experience. She wasn't a Christian, didn't know God, didn't trust in Jesus at all, had any kind of relationship with him. And in her near-death experience, she had a dramatic encounter with Jesus who appeared to her while she was unconscious. And when she was telling me afterwards, obviously she survived. And when she was telling me about this afterwards, she was crying. It was so moving to her. It was so amazing. She couldn't even put words around it. It was just this abundant, extravagant, amazing grace, right? She was so moved by it. And it totally changed her life for about 2 months because she didn't put roots down, didn't cultivate prayer, didn't cultivate scripture, didn't cultivate relationship with other believers to help her to interpret and engage with what just happened to me. Who is Jesus? I have no idea who this person is. I kind of vaguely know from some stuff I did when I was a kid, occasionally show up at church, but I don't have a relationship with this God. Tell me, show me. She didn't invest any roots. She didn't put any threads to knit herself into Christ and Christ's love. And so she didn't establish roots. So this incredible encounter with the Lord did not bear any fruit in her life. my friends, some of you have kind of faith in the background, faith in the kind of in the kind of in the wings and the weeds, and kind of it's not really that important to you. But some of you have had really, really significant moments with God. Not all of you, but some of you have. But you've never put down roots. What if 2025 was the year you finally put down some roots in the Lord, intentional, cultivating, pouring myself into this thing, and in his people, imperfect, messy, absolutely, but people who are for you and with you and saying, hey, we're gonna walk this journey together. We together are gonna learn how to draw on God's abundance in our own lives. And then, my friends, does God have someone in your life that he wants you to pray this rooted and established prayer for? Do you know people who are rooted and established in all the wrong places? Brokenness, bitterness, sin, darkness, addiction. Like, are they rooted and established in places that have just nothing to do with God's amazing love? Or are they just rootless, kind of drifting and kind of never really putting roots down in this amazing love? Has God put someone in your life that you could just pray, God, would you just help them become rooted and established in your amazing love? And then for some of you, God, do I need to make some steps to get a little more rooted, a little more established in this amazing love? Because the way that we become the men and women God designed for us to be is that we start to wrap our hearts and our minds and our spirits around this overflowing abundance, superabundance of God's amazing love given to us by the love and the power and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Today's wildly important take-homes. First, scarcity is reality apart from God. That's just the whole deal apart from God. Scarcity mentality bears terrible fruit. And so, man, it's so easy to fall into this. It's so easy to get sucked into this. Christian, not a Christian, doesn't matter. It's just such an easy thing to habituate, get stuck in. So I want to invite us all into this new place of freedom. And this is part of what the Lord has done, what God has done for us in Jesus, right? So Jesus, all of us Jesus followers are called to change the scarcity mentality atmosphere by drawing on the super abundance of God, all those riches, all that love, all that power. And we do that, one of the primary ways we do that is through prayer for ourselves as we step into God's amazing love and abundance, and as we pray for others and ask God, would you just pour out your amazing love and amazing grace into their lives to change the atmosphere? I want to invite you this week to try that joy exercise, right? Each day, can you call up a fond memory? Sit in it for just a few seconds, just kind of call to mind whatever details are meaningful, important to you. Can you kind of wordlessly just turn toward the Lord and say, thank you, like just receive this as a gift from the Lord? And then what does that release in you? What does it release in your body? Can you feel in your body the sort of your shoulders relax, the smile kind of come on your face? Can you sort of start to sit in that? Did you create these little wells of joy? This exercise is from a book called The Other Half of Church. It's just been very interesting to think about how do you get to that place in your inmost being? And one of the ways you do that is just by off-ramping out of ordinary time and stepping into deep time with great intentionality. Next, strengthening the inmost being. Who needs this prayer this week, including you? Or someone around you, like strengthening your inmost being, like power and love are the things that get repeated over and over and over again. Who needs in your world this prayer to change their atmosphere? And maybe again, maybe it's you, maybe it starts with you, but maybe it's also someone else that you love and care about. God, would you deliver them from the anxiety or from the fear or from the anger, the unforgiveness, the resentment, the rage that's hijacking them? God, would you strengthen them with your grace and love and power? Next, are you rooted in the wrong place or are you rootless? I invite you to offer that to the Lord and make a right-rooted plan. God, what does it mean for me to root myself in your superabundant love, in your superabundant grace, your superabundant power? And then, God, what does it mean for me to root myself in your people? And then are there people, again, in your life who don't know God's amazing love, don't know the superabundance of God, and of course they're stuck in just doing whatever normal people do in ordinary time? Are there people God's put in your life that he wants you to pray this prayer for them and over them? Next, finally, changing the atmosphere. It's a long game. Keeping a change is an even longer game. Who has God given you to pray Ephesians 3 in an ongoing way? There's all these phrases we didn't talk about, all kinds of things that we didn't get to. Ephesians 3 is just a beautiful prayer. Paul's praying for his friends in Ephesus. Who has God put in your life that you might just pick up a phrase or a word or just pray the whole thing, super short, over them and for them? Because prayer is one of the key ways that you and I are invited to change the atmosphere. My prayer for me and for you is that we would be people who root ourselves in God's amazing power, his amazing grace, his amazing love, all that superabundance poured out in you, and that we would then go to the Lord and ask him to release all that to the people and places where he sends us and puts us and those that we love, that he, in his amazing grace, might change the atmosphere. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thanks for this invitation to step into deep time and all your resources and all your amazing grace. I pray for my friends who are here today who know that they're rooted and established in the wrong things, broken things, or who have a sense of, oh yeah, we are rootless. We haven't put down roots. And we've been in and out of church or faith or God and occasionally checking in or occasionally doing things, but Lord, you're calling them to something deeper in 2025. Would we have the courage, strength to do that? Lord Jesus, I pray for those that we love, that your super abundant riches, grace, glory, the life that they were made for, that we were made for, that all of us were made for, all that abundance, all that grace would free us from scarcity mentality, from anger, aggression, or anxiety, fear, or just passivity, to live bold lives, courageous lives, full of all the abundant riches available to us in Christ Jesus, and then being abundance people wherever you've put us, praying abundance prayers over other people, that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you and with us participating with you might change the atmosphere for good and forever. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.